Good evening and welcome to the 2018 Mississippi Arts Commission Governor's Arts Awards. I'm Beth Ann Fennelly, Poet Laureate of the great state of Mississippi. Thank you, Dr. Bobby Cooper and the Utica Jubilee Singers. The Utica Jubilee Singers are from Hines Community College. The all-male group was established in 1903 and has performed for audiences all over the world. Thank you so much. Good evening and welcome to the 2018 Mississippi Arts Commission's Governor's Arts Awards. I'm Beth Ann Fennelly, Poet Laureate of the great state of Mississippi. Oh. This is the 30th anniversary of the awards presentations. Over the past three decades, more than 150 visionaries, dreamers, and achievers have been honored for their contributions to excellence in the arts. We have five notable Mississippians here tonight, but first I've been asked to read a poem. One of the things poetry has taught me is to be aware and alive to the poetry in the world around us, because you never know when something will happen that will inspire you. So the story behind the story of this poem is I wrote it in the least inspirational place in the world, the family amusement park of Dollywood. But while I was there with my husband and our three kids, we took a break from the rides and I went to a Birds of Prey show that had some rescued animals. And I wrote this about an eagle. The next time a student asks how to write a poem, I will say, sit in a white room without paper and think of the hunter who shot the wing off the bald eagle, who must have seen he wrecked his trophy and, disgusted, did not offer it a second bullet, but thrashed off deeper into the forest wearing his expensive forest-colored clothes. Then think of the man from the wild bird sanctuary who found the eagle, sutured its ragged wing stub, fed the awkward hopping thing for years. And before it died, took it to the mountain and harnessed it in a hang glider. So one last time its hollow bones could float. So one last time its eyes could scour the forest floor from hunter's height. So one last time its talons could tear the gauzy cloak of sky. Flying in the face of God. That one last time. Think of the poacher. Think of the birder. Alternate, shortening the intervals. When you can hold both of these men in the palm of your mind at the same time, love, come find me and teach me. Thank you. I also want to thank the Mississippi Arts Commission for the opportunity to serve a 4-year term as the state's poet laureate. And I take great pleasure in introducing the man leading the efforts on behalf of artists and art supporters in the state, ladies and gentlemen, the executive director of the Mississippi Arts Commission, Malcolm White.
Ooh. Thank you very much, Beth Ann. And I appreciate that introduction, and I will remind you, as she had said, that Beth Ann is our state poet laureate, and that is another one of the partnerships that the Arts Commission and the other cultural agencies in Mississippi banded together. And Governor Bryant appointed Beth Ann, so it's another partnership with the governor's office and the Arts Commission Works for the Arts, and we appreciate her being here tonight. Welcome to one and all, to those of you who are assembled here and to those of you who are watching on television and on radio, and we are grateful to MPB for that possibility. Congratulations to the honorees. We are extraordinarily proud of you, and we thank you for your presence and your contribution to the Mississippi story tonight. Thank you for being here. 30 years ago, in 1988, the first Governor's Arts Award, then known as Governor's Awards for Excellence in the Arts, Steve knows, he was a part of that original group, were held right here in this building, the old Capitol. This grand example of art and architecture in our state plays host for nearly 20 years to the Governor's Arts Awards before Hurricane Katrina devastated this facility in 2005, and we begin to go out on the road. Beautifully restored, we are happy to be back here in the old Capitol Museum and to demonstrate the relationship between government and the arts, architecture, and the human spirit. Please take a moment to look through your program. In our program tonight are all the people who make this evening possible. From the history of the award, to the orchestra, to the choir, to the people who did the layout, to the people who are patrons and our sponsors, all that information is in your brochure, and I would appreciate you taking a second to look through the program as we go through the evening, because there are many people in there who are incredibly important to this night. The Arts Commission was established 50 years ago this year as a demonstration of how public funding for the arts works in America, and as a way for the citizens of Mississippi to come to know themselves through their culture, using music, the visual arts, theater, and the written word. For 50 years, the funding that MAC has provided to individual artists, organizations, and schools has played a vital role in keeping the arts alive while restoring our souls. We look forward to continuing in this tradition, in the legacy and the legacy of honoring people and granting and supporting the arts in Mississippi, and we are very proud of those who have made an indelible mark on the state and on the world through their contributions. These recipients represent what I have long claimed was Mississippi's greatest asset: our art, our culture, our history, and our story. Tonight at the Old Capitol Museum, we thank you for hosting this event. We thank the Department of Archives and History for hosting us, and I would also like to take a moment to thank the Board of Commissioners who lead the Arts Commission and our work, ably led by Steve Eds and Carol Puckett. Would the Arts Commissioners for the Mississippi Arts Commission please stand and be thanked? I would also like to thank our staff, the people who work all day, every day, on funding and supporting and being there for the arts around the state of Mississippi. The staff of the Mississippi Arts Commission are the greatest, and I appreciate very much the hard work that they do for you. And now I would like to recognize our First Lady, Deborah Bryant. Mrs. Bryant, I want to thank you for your steadfast support of the arts and artists, and for your grace, and for your charm. Would you please stand and let us thank you. Now, please join me in welcoming the 64th governor of the state of Mississippi on the 30th anniversary of the Governor's Arts Awards in the 50th year of the Mississippi Arts Commission, the Honorable Phil Bryant, Governor.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here, Malcolm. Thank you for that. Congratulations to the recipients tonight. What an honor. What a beautiful statue. The Mackey gets better looking every year, better with age. As I was thinking about 30 years of this, and look back in 1988 when Lynteen Price was recognized with this award. Imagine one of the greatest talents of our time here from Mississippi. I thought just how much the art means to us in Mississippi. The arts are part of the economic development of this state. Arts make money. Now, because you see, 23 million people visited this state last year during our bicentennial. Much of them came to see our artists, our Blues Trail, the B.B. King Museum, the Grammy Museum, to travel the Country Music Trail. The arts bring people to Mississippi because we're very good at it. Art is education. I was at McWillie Elementary School just yesterday, seeing those third graders learning, admiring the art upon the wall. Art is therapy. In Deborah's office is a beautiful painting of a golden eagle in black and gold. Southern Miss. A young palliative care patient at Larry Batson painted that with a brush between her teeth. It's a beautiful piece of art that has touched our heart and has been therapy to know that it represents the talent of someone that most of us would think would be unable to function in our difficult, challenging world, but she seems to do so through her art. So here we are tonight to recognize these great artists, and great they are indeed. You see, no mediocre artist ever won this award. Greatness, talent, the God-given ability to move many of us with emotion, with desire, the desire to wish that we could do that. Those of us that are merely mortals and cannot in any way put together a tune or a painting or a poem that brings people to tears or to their feet in rounds of applause, or from all across the world to visit a place called Mississippi where the art lives. Thank you so much for all of you that are here tonight. Let's go on with the awards, and let's make sure that we have another 30 years ahead of us for the Arts Awards. God bless you all. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Governor. We truly appreciate you and Mrs. Bryant joining us here tonight. Mississippi has been blessed with a strong classical dance community for many decades, and few Mississippians have been more responsible for raising the bar for ballet than our first recipient, David Keary.
Jackson, Mississippi is fortunate to have a thriving ballet school. And one of the main contributors to Ballet Mississippi's success is professional dancer and teacher David Keary. Keary began his training with the Jackson Ballet under Albia Cavan Cooper and was hired as the troupe's first professional dancer by Thalia Mara. He went on to train at the School of American Ballet in New York. In 1979, legendary choreographer George Balanchine invited David to apprentice with the New York City Ballet. In 1981, he became a member of the New York City Ballet Company, where he performed on the PBS series Dance in America. He also danced with the Fort Worth Ballet before returning to Mississippi. In 1994, he became the artistic director of Ballet Mississippi and shifted its focus from a performing company to a professional school. He has spent the last 23 years growing and enhancing the program. Mr. Keary's impact on the state's dance community runs deep. Many of his students go on to study ballet, compete in ballet competitions, and work in professional companies or on Broadway stages. David Keary choreographed the entirety of Ballet Mississippi's most beloved annual ballet, The Nutcracker. Under his leadership, Ballet Mississippi has expanded from 25 students to more than 300. Mr. Keary's artistic gifts are not limited to dance. He also plays gypsy-style jazz guitar in the band Swing de Paris. His focus remains on educating and training the next generation of Mississippi dancers and passing on the wisdom he has gained from his former teachers. For his visionary commitment in teaching excellence in dance, the Governor's Award for Leadership in Performing Arts goes to David Keary.
I looked through the program and I saw these names going back to 1988, and I thought, what the heck am I doing here? You know, Leontine Price, Mac McAnally, Eudora Welty, all these people. But I could say the same thing about my teacher, Albia Cavan. She was a giant in her field, and following her was Thalia Mara, the lady that loved us enough to make us hate her. And we did for a while. I don't now. Today, I got a text from a student's mother who said, "We're so thrilled. Your student got in the Bolshoi Ballet Academy for this summer." And when I came in tonight, I looked over there and I saw all my kids around there. And there was one going to Colorado Ballet and Boston Ballet. And I'm thinking about my kid up in New York at Anastasia right now. That's why you do this. You look at these children. I don't have children, but they're my kids. Thank goodness they go home at night. But Thalia once said, if we didn't have the arts, we would all be savages. Isn't that right, Brenda? She's right. It does. It makes humanity come into your heart and soul in a way that makes the world speak to you in a way that it just doesn't otherwise. And I think that's what joins us. I mean, we're all here of probably different religions and political persuasions, but we're here to celebrate art. That's fantastic, and that's the way we should be, because we're Americans, and that's what this wonderful beautiful tradition gives us. So, Governor Bryant, thank you for supporting the arts, Mississippi Arts Commission. Thank you for having me here. To my people from Ballet, Mississippi, 25 years, thank you. Wow. And Mona, thank you for trusting me with your IBC school this summer. We're going to have a good time. So the little piece we're going to play tonight is kind of really dear to my heart, because when I got to New York City Ballet School, it was the first pas de deux by George Balanchine I learned. He had this beautiful ballet called Who Cares, and it was set to George Gershwin's music. And this piece is Embraceable Pas de Deux. The girl that I learned it with, we ended up dancing the school workshop performance when we graduated and going to New York City Ballet. And then when I started taking guitar, the first jazz piece they gave me was this. So I thought, well, the arts embrace, so Embraceable You. Thank you so much. I am so honored. I'm still stunned with this, but my kids are going to be rehearsing longer now. Thank you. Thank you.
Embraceable You by the multi-talented David Keary. Thank you so much. Though she doesn't consider herself an artist, our next recipient has been actively involved in the state's art scene for more than half a century. She is known and revered within the arts community. Let's learn more about V.A. Patterson.
Arts organizations help artists thrive, and great leaders make sure those organizations thrive. Virginia Alice Bookhart Patterson's life's work has been to serve the creative community through visionary leadership. V.A. grew up in Jackson, frequently attending arts functions with her mother, Clarion Ledger women's editor Mary Alice Bookhart. Early in her career, Ms. Patterson worked at the Tulane University Library and conducted research on decorative arts at the University of Texas Library. After working at two historic house museums in New Orleans, Ms. Patterson was hired as the first curator of the Manship House in Jackson. This house museum is a showcase for 19th century decorative arts. V.A. spent 12 years managing and promoting the Manship House for the Department of Archives and History and created the popular performing arts series, Sundays at the Manship House. After stints with the historic Natchez Foundation and the 1994 International Ballet Competition in Jackson, V.A. became the executive director of the Craftsmen's Guild of Mississippi. As director, she promoted hundreds of artists and craftsmen and coordinated the annual Chimneyville Crafts Festival. Ms. Patterson's focus shifted to helping artists with disabilities when she became director of VSA Mississippi. She developed and oversaw programs to help these artists thrive. She is credited by several artists as launching their professional arts careers. She successfully promoted the idea that the arts are for all and should touch everyone's life. For her life's work in supporting artists and preserving our state's historic collections, the Governor's Award for Community Arts Leader goes to Virginia Alice Bookhart Patterson.
Governor Bryant, Mrs. Bryant, Arts Commissioners, Malcolm White. This is so exciting. What an honor. Like David, I never dreamed of something like this happening to me. This is just wonderful, and what an honor it is to stand here next to such talent in this room. Thank you, Cheryl Thornhill, Barbara Austin, Betsy Bradley, and Nina Moss for this nomination. And thank you, awards panelists, for selecting me. My mother knew exactly what she was doing when she started taking me to concerts, plays, gallery exhibits, and other arts events when I was a child. She wanted to introduce me to all the arts and also to teach me about the importance of supporting these activities in my community. As a special treat, on some occasions, I would get to go backstage with her after the performances and meet the artists. There were other times when she took me with her when she would interview a writer about a new book or an artist about an upcoming exhibit or attend dress rehearsals of the opera or a play. At all these times, I would get to meet and interact with the artists. I doubt my mother or any of those teachers could ever have imagined the enormous impact that exposure to the arts and getting to meet the artists would eventually have in my life, both professionally and personally. I am forever grateful to Patty Carr Black, who made it possible for me to return home to Mississippi in 1980 when she hired me to be the first curator of the Manship House. What a gift. I was back in Jackson, and I was responsible for presenting that beautifully restored historic structure and telling the story of an early Jackson family who lived in it. Later, when I worked for the 1994 USA International Ballet Competition, I had the unique opportunity to see the most beautiful performances of perfection in ballet and to meet and interact with the dancers. I thank Sue Lebrano Womble for giving me that special experience. I loved working with the Craftsman's Guild, where I had the privilege of representing the artists and promoting the fabulous art they create. And I cherish the longtime friendships I have with so many of these artists today. During my years with VSA Mississippi, the Community Art Group was started to provide free art classes for adults with disabilities. With our school artist residency program, I saw firsthand the importance of arts education for all children, and especially children with disabilities. I thank Leslie Roark Scott for bringing me into the VSA organization. And I also want to note that all of these programs that I've mentioned benefited greatly from funding from the Mississippi Arts Commission while I was there. Getting to know you, the artist, and your art, experiencing the connection between the two, enriches my life every day. I'm looking forward to your next shows and this connection I have with you and your art. Thank you.
Now let's learn about a community arts organization that has been making its mark in North Mississippi for almost 50 years, the Yaknambatawpha Arts Council.
In the modern age, support for the arts must come from individuals and the community. And one community group that has stepped up for decades is the Yaknambatawpha Arts Council. Named after William Faulkner's fictional literary county, the Yaknambatawpha Arts Council has served Oxford and Lafayette County since 1972. For over 45 years, the council has created opportunities for artists and community members to experience meaningful interactions. The council presents 320 days of programming each year, including a monthly art crawl, the Outer Limits Fringe Festival, and the Good Night Market. Working with local artists and the University of Mississippi Department of Art, the council created a public sculpture trail with 19 works in public parks, the historic square, and the university campus, connecting the community through art. 4 years ago, the council created the Arts Incubator, which connects the Fayette County artists with business professionals. The incubator promotes economic and community development by providing artists with mentors and training in business, last year serving over 100 creative-based businesses. The Arts Council embraces technology in their mission to promote Mississippi's talented artists. They created the Art Vending Machine, which provides visual artists with a unique retail space, and the Small Hall Concert Series, an artistic gathering space that live streams music from the Oxford Square, reaching thousands of people with each event. The Arts Council participated in the Americans for the Arts, Arts and Economic Prosperity Study, which showed 223,000 people attended arts and cultural events in Lafayette County in 2015 and 2016, generating an $11 million economic impact. For its dedication to creative, community-oriented events, the Governor's Award for Arts in Community goes to the Yaknambatawpha Arts Council.
I am honored to accept this award on behalf of the Yaknambatawpha Arts Council. As you heard, it's been almost 50 years of people working hard to put arts in the community. And I thank the Governor, the Mississippi Arts Commission, and all the artists who spent that time putting that fiber and running it through our entire community so that it became part of what our community is. It's how we share our stories, and hopefully, as you saw, it's how we're growing business in Mississippi. The stories and the voices we have in our communities are unique. They make our community a special place to be and attract people from around the world. So I am honored that you've recognized our hard work, the work of the volunteers, the staff, the board, the artists, and those businesses that also invest and back the support that you've given us by helping us make these programs possible. So on the personal note, I will say, do I also get to say that I have now opened for Steve Azar? But I would like to say. But I'd also like to say this all started because I had a family that invested in the arts. They took us to programs. They encouraged us to go to museums. This has been a lifelong passion for me. And I have a wonderful wife that supports this effort and great board members like Walt Davis, who encourages every day to work hard, think through creative ideas, and make an impact. So thank you for recognizing our hard work, and we look forward to another 50 years.
Thank you, Wayne. I live in Oxford, which falls under the purview of the Yakutat Arts Council, and it has shaped and improved my life and the life of my children and my husband in many ways. The Mississippi Delta has produced more than its fair share of musicians, writers, and artists, and this Delta Sun has been representing Mississippi's culture to the world through songwriting and music. He's Greenville's own Steve Azar.
The Mississippi Delta is fertile ground for both planters and artists, so it comes as no surprise that this is the place where musician Steve Azar developed his Delta soul style. Mr. Azar hit the ground running with his debut album, Waitin' on Joe, in 2001. The videos for the title track and I Don't Have to Be Me Till Monday both went to number one on country music television. The Greenville native's talent for writing and performing is well known in the music business. Taylor Swift has professed her love of his music, and in 2007, Bob Seger took Azar on the number one concert tour as ranked by industry publication Pollstar. In 2011, Oprah Winfrey included Azar's album Slide On Over Here on her Top Things to Buy at Christmas list. And the video for Sunshine reached number one on the Great American Country Network. Last year, Steve recorded an album with the King's Men, musicians who backed fellow Mississippians B.B. King and Elvis, as well as other giants of popular music. But Steve Azar is known for more than his musical prowess. He co-founded the Mighty Mississippi Music Festival and has devoted countless hours to public speaking in which he encourages others to give back to Mississippi. He has combined his fervent passion for music, golf, and the Mississippi Delta in a creative and philanthropic way. Along with his wife, Gwen, Steve founded the Delta Soul Celebrity Golf and Charity Event and the Steve Azar St. Cecilia Foundation. The foundation raises money for education and the arts in the Delta and has donated nearly $1 million to various local organizations. In honor of our state's recent bicentennial, Steve Azar was appointed Music and Culture Ambassador of Mississippi by Governor Phil Bryant. From raising funds for great causes to making hit records, Azar has succeeded in enriching the arts community in Mississippi. For these accomplishments and many others, the recipient of the Governor's Choice Award is Steve Azar.
Governor Bryant and your leading lady, coming home, you guys were, it was like a bolt of lightning. It was something I didn't expect. Getting to know you has become my friend. Your appreciation for not only the Delta, but it's in our blood, the music that we grew up to. It just moves me. It does. Our state is art. And I remember being 11 years old. I was the fourth kid. My parents had given up giving guitar lessons to my brothers and my sister. And I went behind my dad's liquor store, which poetically, my dad named it the Jigger and Jug, the first legal liquor store in Mississippi. And everybody questions it to be legal. What did you do before that? But no, I'm kidding. He's a Notre Dame grad, went to the Air Force, came home. And I remember walking back there and seeing this guy, Eugene Powell, who's Sonny Boy Nelson, singing about his day to postmen at the end of the day. And I remember little Milton just coming and hanging out around the place, hubbing in and out, and just incredible blues musicians who sort of, you know, little Milton used to call me Little Azar. He goes, "You're going to do this." My brother and I had this band going, and we had this little van, and all of a sudden we had two 30-foot trucks. I think they were 30 feet, and they were painted in pink, and we were scaring all the parents, but we were making our way and learning how to do it, you know? And little Milton would go, "Little Azar, you're going to do this." And I was a slow learner. It took me a long time. I've been in the presence of Ahmet Erdogan thinking that he was going to sign me, and he played me Walking in Memphis by Mark Cohen and said, "I'm signing you or him." And I was young, and I was still smart enough to go, "Well, I don't have that." And I wanted to have that. So when I thought it was all over, my wife and I had moved. I had stolen her from the University of Arkansas and brought her to where the music all began. And she crossed over the bridge, and we built a house, and that was it. And all of a sudden, in 1 week, when you think you got it figured out, finally, you realize, you know, you can put all you want on paper, but the plans don't go like they do. And I got my first publishing deal, and then another, and then another. And I didn't have a hit until I was 37 years old. Thank goodness for my mom's genes, everybody thought I was still 25. So I'm still, you know, I soak in formaldehyde and all that stuff at night. But anyway. But it was then, and I wanted the world to know my music, so I knew I had to have enough of a foot in Nashville to be successful. But I had to have it. Mississippi had to be wrapped around it. And I've had agents that say, "Your shows are too Mississippi," and I'd go, "What are you talking about? People love it." And I believed in it. So when we moved home, it was the best thing in the world for our kids, all born and raised in Nashville. And I know that. I know we came home for them. The Delta and the Mississippi has been injected into their soul. And they get it. And they prospered. And they've been prospering. And so not only did the state give that to me, it gave it to them. And I had a wife that would move anywhere with me. And she loves Mississippi. It's been really, really, really rewarding to me to be able to make music that I always wanted to be able to make. Nashville says I turned the Music City says I've turned my back on the business in Nashville, and I just said I came back to the birthplace of where it all started, and that's home. So thank you, Governor Bryant. Thank you, Arts Commission. Thank you, guys. So I remember. Let me make sure I'm in tune. You want to come? David, you can play guitar and you can dance. I can't dance. So I remember doing the Opry one time with Porter Wagner, and I was on the Friday night show. I did the Opry probably 50 times, and it was awesome. But one night, I decided I was going to play something that my band, I was writing, and my band goes, "Oh, no, here he goes again." You know, and we were on TV, and I was the way I am. So I'm going to invite these guys in because I know you can do it, right? I've been writing a lot of songs about towns in Mississippi. Just the name's inspiring, you know what I mean? And this is going to be on my next record. I always play stuff that isn't out yet. So I'm going to dedicate this to all you guys. On the road for 40 days, tempted every which way,
by lustful scent, but no, I have not been. Seen a seductive flower bloom, breath the devil's rich perfume, but for the sake of love, no, I did not touch. 'Cause she ain't Rosedale, she ain't something like my girl, only Rosedale. Aroma fills my bed, and so forgiveness is nothing she will have to do. No, I could never stumble or fail to do wrong, Rosedale. Under a parched moonlight in San Antonio, on the river walk, Corrine Diageo, tequila on her lips, though I dared not take a sip. And it was down in Savannah, I recall, where I had my share of alcohol. But a wild azalea may, I just let her wilt away. 'Cause she ain't Rosedale, she ain't something like my girl, only Rosedale. Aroma fills my bed, and so forgiveness is nothing she will have to do. No, I could never stumble or fail or do wrong, Rosedale. In the autumn breeze, I watch her sway, still in awe at all this grace. Like some prophecy, a faithful seed was planted, rooted, blossomed to find me. Oh, my Rosedale, how else could this be? You see, Rosedale, so Mississippi, a Delta dawn, she wakes up pretty. Oh, each and every morn, thus every sunrise I am born. Sings along with the mockingbird, so confident she takes a verse. Thinks she's part of the band, well, I just laugh and take the hand of my Rosedale. She is sure some kind of girl, only Rosedale. Aroma fills my bed, and ask forgiveness is nothing she will have to do. No, I could never stumble or fail. I'd pack up and go to hell before I do wrong, Rosedale. Been on the road for 40 days.
C. Ray.
That was beautiful, Steve. We're so glad you came home to us. Purpose is a word that describes the long career of our next recipient. He has created works that reflect our society and that challenge and expand our horizons. Let's take a closer look at the career of Joseph Overstreet.
Since the middle of the last century, artist and social activist Joseph Overstreet has created vibrant modern paintings that offer a unique perspective on African-American life. In 1933, Overstreet was born in the small town of Conahatta, near Meridian. About 5 years later, Overstreet's family migrated from the state, eventually settling in Oakland, California. This is where the young artist began developing his craft. In the Bay Area, he was mentored by fellow artists Sargent Johnson and Raymond Howell. During the beginning of his career, he worked as an animator for Walt Disney Studios in Los Angeles. Joseph moved to New York City in 1958 where he facilitated projects that offered new opportunities for African-American artists. He was the art director for the Black Arts Repertory Theater and School, where he created movable stages. These stages were used as a mobile jazz platform for performers in New York City. Mr. Overstreet experimented with texture and medium to challenge the typical limitations of art. His innovation in form mirrors his boldness in content. His exhibitions in the 1960s were primarily focused on the civil rights movement and jazz music. One of his best-known works is The New Jemima from 1964. Overstreet said, "So my painting reveals the new Jemima who chose a machine gun as her stove or her cooking equipment. She's shooting rapid-fire pancakes." In the early 1970s, Mr. Overstreet founded Ken Kelleba House in New York City with writer Samuel C. Floyd and artist Corinne Jennings, Overstreet's wife. This space is still used for art exhibitions and performances. In 2003, Joseph Overstreet began work on a painting series called Meridian Fields, based on his memories of viewing the world through his grandparents' screen porch in Meridian, Mississippi. For his numerous contributions to the art world and his dedication to civil rights and empowering Black artists, the Governor's Award for Excellence in Visual Art goes to Joseph Overstreet.
I had felt so much for Martin Luther King. I met him in New York City in a bar. Well, when I got back to putting the theater down and we got out, I went to the park in New York, Tompkins Park, downtown, Avenue A and 9th Street. In the park, there's a fountain. The fountain, hope, justice, and peace. For justice, hope, faith, and peace. I was thinking about Martin Luther King. It had me so disturbed what happened to King. He was shot in Memphis, and he had done so much to help. I couldn't pay anything but all my attention to making something that would recreate what he meant. So this is what I want to thank y'all for having me here with my paintings, Faith, Hope, Justice, and Peace. Thank you very, very much for having it here. It represents everything that I felt that King felt. Martin Luther King was for all of us. He wasn't just for Black people. He was for everybody. I used to talk to him in the bar. And I always liked the things that Martin Luther King felt. I'm not going to sit here and talk about Martin Luther King to y'all because y'all all know him better than me. I thank you for having me here.
A very special thanks to the judges for the Governor's Arts Awards and to the corporate sponsors. Thanks also to Mississippi Public Broadcasting. We couldn't do this without you. Also, join me in thanking, please, Governor and Mrs. Phil Bryant. And let's give a big round of applause for tonight's recipients. Steve Azar and David Keery will come on up and help play the finale. Joseph Overstreet, V.A. Patterson, and the Yakima Patafa Arts Council. Our wonderful band tonight, the Arts Award Combo, is led by Raphael Sims on bass, with Barry Leach on guitar, and Bill Perry on keyboard. Nominations for the Governor's Arts Award are solicited every spring. Please visit the Mississippi Arts Commission website for details and nomination deadlines. For more information about the arts in Mississippi and the Governor's Arts Award, visit arts.ms.gov. Thanks for joining us. For the Mississippi Arts Commission, I'm Beth Ann Fennelly. Keep celebrating the arts.
Support for MPB comes from the Mississippi Symphony Orchestra, presenting an evening of romance and mischief this Saturday at Thayamara Hall with the music of Satie, Wagner, and Stravinsky. Tickets at msorchestra.com.
This is MPB Think Radio.
I just really love the service that is being rendered to all of these locally produced programs.
MPB, Mississippi is our mission. This forecast is underwritten by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Mississippi. Live healthy. Live blue. It's good to be blue. More at bcbsms.com.
We have a slow-moving frontal system coming our way. It's going to stall out across the lower Mississippi Valley region, and that will be the focal point for some wet weather chances statewide. In the Oxford area this evening and as the night goes on, we're going to start to work back in some widely scattered showers, a low mid-50s. Showers becoming even more likely through Friday with temperatures holding steady right at 55 degrees. In the Starkville area, cloudy this evening, slight chance for rain as the night goes on, a low at 60. Then more showers starting to build on in for Friday at our high right around 65. The forecast for the Natchez area, as we're heading through tonight, we're keeping it dry, a low 60s, increasing chance for showers Friday. I'm Jennifer Naramore. This is Think Radio.